today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Have you ever seen the Hawk mascot half-dressed? Welcome to Selection Monday. It's Selection Monday here on the Rockin' the Suburbs Sports Network. I'm Jim Lenihan.
Not Patrick Foster.
And by Selection Monday, what we mean is we are launching a 64-team tournament, 64-band tournament to determine the greatest American band. Are you excited, Patrick?
I'm pretty excited. Would that be SPSN? Is that our four initials?
Yes, I think you're right.
Okay.
Suburbs Pod Sports Network.
That's right. Love that. Yeah, yes. It would look good on like a hockey jersey or something like that.
It'd be great. Yes.
I'm very excited. Okay. This is going to be great. And I loved when you proposed this idea, the criteria that you laid out for this event.
Yes.
And it's so good because you talk a little bit about it, but
I
it
will.
Excludes, you know, certain iconic American solo performers.
That's
right.
That's right. I will get to all that. So the idea came up quite some time ago. We've done a couple of podcast episodes on the notion of who's the greatest American band. People have chimed in on it. But it's always a big debate because there are so many iconic British bands in music history. I mean, you think of the Beatles, the Stones, the Who, Pink Floyd, the Clash, and so on, right? But in America, bands have mostly been eclipsed by solo artists, from Elvis Presley to Michael Jackson. I would consider Bruce Springsteen a solo artist and so on, despite the fact he has a backing band. I think of him as a solo
Paul Simon.
Right?
Yep.
Exactly. And then pretty much all of country music. Country music is dominated by solo artists. There aren't really that many bands, hardly at all. So we are going to stage this tournament-style competition to decide the greatest American band. We are starting today because we have a 64-band field, and there will be a matchup every day that you can vote on, listeners. You can vote on our social media, on either our Rockin' the Suburbs Facebook or Rockin' the Suburbs Twitter. Either one of those, there will be a poll in both places, a daily poll with one matchup per day, which, when you think of a field of 64, that means it's going to take 63 days to get to one band left, which will coincide, if I've done my calendar math correctly, will coincide with the final of the actual NCAA March Madness tournament. Okay? Does that make sense?
Beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's right up our alley. And can I just ask one technical question, though, really quick?
Yes.
There's no play-in to the 64,
right?
There is
no play-in.
Okay.
This is a very good question.
Sure.
As many people know, the NCAA tournament is now 68 teams. We decided to keep it to where it should be. Tight. 64.
A little more classic.
That's right. Yeah. Classic.
Those 64. Play-in games just confused me and upset me. I'm trying to do my bracket, I'm like, what is that? I don't even want that.
The other issue we had there was that the arena in Dayton is booked now, and we can't get it.
There's a guided by voices convention taking place.
It might be. All right. So here, I mentioned you can vote on our Facebook page or our Twitter account. New matchups should post daily. Should, emphasize the word should post daily by around 8 a.m. And voting will go for a full 24 hours is the idea. And you can also go to our social medias for updates, updated brackets, and so on. And the bracket will also be on our website, suburbspod.com. All right?
Downloadable and printable.
Yes. And again, voting starts today. Okay. So now we are going to reveal, and with the help of some guests here, some big fans, we are going to reveal and analyze the bracket. But before we do, Patrick, you mentioned the criteria. What constitutes an American band? That's important. We have to have that first, and then we can give that criteria to the selection committee, and then they can debate and set the field
essential.
Of 64.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the backbone of the tournament.
So here's the criteria. All band members must be American-born or moved to the U.S. as children, so before they began their music careers, okay? You'll see that in a couple of bands here where They maybe weren't born in the U.S., but they didn't really start their musical careers until they were already established in the United States of America. All right, so that's it.
Totally,
but that's
going to
eliminate some well-known bands that have American members and maybe are thought of as American-based, but they had, you know, one or two members who were not Americans, okay? So those, there you go.
Pretenders, right? That's a big one for me, is Pretenders are out. That's a
very good example. Yep. The Band would be another one.
Yep.
We even had to make the tough choice here. It eliminated the Velvet Underground because of John Cale, right? So there you go.
You have to.
In general here, bands with "and" in the name, such as Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, so on and so forth, those are considered solo acts. Those are not considered bands for the purposes of this competition. All right. So bands have band names. Now, there is one exception that you'll see in here, and it's because even though it goes with one of those "and" constructions, it really was a band, not so much a solo act. So we're going to, you'll see that when we get to it.
Right. And I'll just interject here quickly. I'm betting heavily on this whole thing. And, I'm glad Petty's not in the mix because he would be tough to take out.
That's right. It's a force for sure.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now we have the issue of vocal groups. Vocal groups, you know, where you have a group where they don't necessarily, you know, play their own instruments. They have others who do that. Is that a band? Yes, we are considering that a band for this competition, right? So vocal groups, but they must have at least three members. A vocal group with two members, that's really a duo, like your Simon and Garfunkel. That's a different thing. But a vocal group with at least three members for this purpose is considered a band. And then the other thing too here is you're not going to see a lot of young acts on here because we were sort of going by Rock and Roll Hall of Fame rules here that legacy means something to evaluate who's the best of all time. So they had to have started their recording careers at least 25 years ago. All right. So pretty much bands that started in the previous century would be part of this competition. Right. All right. Okay. Does that all make sense? Are we good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm excited to get into this. I really am.
Now, the voters can evaluate greatness however they see fit. I will just tell you that some of the considerations that went into determining the field are popularity. So that's where you have, you know, sales figures and so on. Number one hits, chart success, gold records, all of that. That goes into popularity. Mm-hmm. That's one consideration, but not the only one. There's also critical acclaim. So bands that, you know, might routinely get mentioned as the greatest of all time on critics' lists, right? Or have great albums of all time or great songs of all time, that sort of thing. Critical acclaim is big. And then like artistry and creativity, right? I think we all know what that is, right? But you don't want, you know, somebody doing something interesting. And then influence and impact, that's a big one too.
That's huge.
Some bands maybe didn't have great sales figures, but they were such an influence on other bands that they're considered a great band, right? Okay.
Totally. And I think just reviewing those rules, Wingtip Float has been eliminated on every count. So it's fine.
Yes. Well, you know.
So I'm now okay with our exclusion.
Yes. So, yes.
We were not even a bubble team. Wasn't even close.
Not even, you weren't even going to get the play-in spot?
No. Okay. No way. Not even close.
All right. So we sent all that to the selection committee and we have now a 64 band bracket before. Yep. We're going to have some guest analysts here who are going to help us break down each region. Before we get into the individual regions, let's just you and I talk briefly about the number one seeds. That's how we're going to reveal this first.
Okay.
It's like Greg Gumbel does.
I don't know. I just got them on a monitor. Yep. It's like an award show. They opened the envelope like 5 minutes ago. Okay.
So here are the number one seeds. In Region A, you have the Beach Boys.
Round, round, get around. I get around.
Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
Get around, round, round. I get around.
Get around, round, round. I get around.
Wow, okay.
Region B, REM.
Scumbag reaction.
Absolutely.
Okay. In Region C, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
And then okay.
In Region D, the Grateful Dead.
I lit up from Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out, run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
So those are your number one seeds. Beach Boys, REM, wow. CCR, and okay. Grateful Dead. All right? Does that okay. make sense?
Well, one of them was my number one overall pick, so okay. yeah.
All right. Yep, but you don't want to say because you don't want to influence the betting, probably.
It's an American band. I can okay, tell right. people that.
All right. All right, there you go. So now let's get into the individual matchups. We are going to now welcome Mr. Bud Verge. He is going to help us break down Region A.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Before we get into that, Bud,
hey,
your basketball rooting interest is UMass?
Yes, I think Marcus Campy is going to take them all the way this year.
Very good.
Bud, can I ask you one question, which I'll fairly sure. ask of all the analysts. Have you ever been a mascot?
No. One time when I was working at the stadium, I knocked on a door to a room and where the bird was being changed. So it was half man, half bird, and it was quite disturbing. I shut the door and then walked away. I couldn't wipe that from my mind.
Did you just say the bird was being changed? Because that was
weird. Yeah, on those hot summer days, they have a couple of bird suits, so they slip it through them, so they change the bird suits in the middle of the game. So I knocked on a door, and the gentleman who played the mascot was in the middle of changing, so he had like half man, half bird on. It was not right.
That's a sight that will haunt you for your days.
Still is, 20 years later.
All right, let's get to the matchups here. As I mentioned, Bud, in your region, Region A, the Beach Boys are the number one seed, and they drew for their opener Television, number 16 seed Television.
Oh,
a good matchup. I thought very rarely a 16 beats a 1. I think the sound of the 60s pretty much has it in hand versus these Bowery boys.
Okay. We go down to number 8 versus 9. That's the Red Hot Chili Peppers at 8 versus Sonic Youth at 9. That's a tough one. The 8 and 9
that's pretty much that's a tough one. That could be a toss up too, but I'm thinking I don't know. You got two different styles of play here. One's a straight ahead, kind of a rock, rap, funk kind of band, and the other one's kind of all over the place. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get with a Sonic Youth. So, I mean, the boys from California are going to have their hands full.
Okay, now we move down to the 5-12 game. You know, oftentimes in the tournament, the 12, that's a dangerous spot. 12 upsets the 5. In this case, you got the 5 as Talking Heads, and the 12 is White Stripes.
I think you got the one-man player there on Jack White. I don't know if he's got enough talent to take on all of the Talking Heads, but we'll see how that one plays out.
Okay, then we move on to number 4. This is the exception on the and rule. It is Sly and the Family Stone taking on the 13 seed, the Staple Singers.
Sly's always up for some hot fun in the summertime, but don't know what they're going to have versus Pops and Mavis coming at them. That's a double duo dynamic that certainly can play some hits down.
Very good. We move on to the number 3 team in this bracket. That's Metallica, and they drew number 14. Here you go, Bud. Minutemen.
Not the UMass Minutemen. No. These are the Minutemen out of San Pedro. They're an upstart independent team. Nice, got a nice three-player attack there. Metallica starts the game pretty well, but they kind of fade near the end. So we'll see what happens.
All right. The number six seed in the region, the Byrds, against number 11, Black Flag.
The Byrds are going to be tough to pick against. I think they've got a lot going for them right now. They've lost a comrade over the last couple of weeks. I think they're going to be playing for the cross.
Move on to number seven. Number seven. Speaking earlier about influence, Big Star came in at a number seven seed against number 10 seed Devo.
I've never traveled far without a little Big Star, but the 7-10 matchup intrigues me, as Devo is kind of a very interesting futuristic band in the 70s that I don't think most of the tournament was ready for.
Okay. And then we round out this region with the number two seed, the Eagles, going up against 15, Kiss.
Kiss seems a little underrated for me, but I think the sound of the 70s, that California soft rock, is going to overplay that kabuki style style of play that Kiss brings to the court.
Jim, may I say something?
Yeah, of course.
To the committee, this is an outrage. An outrage that Kiss would be ranked 15. Because you cannot give Kiss a 15
because
seed.
Because they should be 16?
I don't care. They're 15. You cannot do that. I mean, they are at least an 11 seed on my rankings. I mean, I've got my own system, and
they'll be playing with
a
chip.
I light a
on
lot
the
of candles around Destroyer, and yeah, it just seems wrong. Yeah.
Well, knowing Gene and Paul, Gene especially, they'll be playing with a big chip on their shoulder for this for this tournament, right?
Suddenly, they've been re-ranked as a 10.
They probably have their
lawyers. Gene's got those platform sneakers that makes him about 8'4" with all the hair. So he's going to be tough in the middle.
He's bigger than Manute Bol. He's so giant.
All right, Bud, any other thoughts on this region in general?
It's very West Coast oriented. It's going to be interesting to see how our viewers view some of these matchups. I think there's going to be some upsets.
All right. Okay, now, let's see. We move on to Region B, and with us to analyze that region is Spartan Mark Neese.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Great to be here.
Hey, Mark, thanks for joining us. So, as I mentioned, Region B, the number one seed here is REM, and they drew the number 16 seed Pavement.
Okay, well, I think Pavement might feel a little bit slighted that they're only the 16 seed, being one of the seminal lo-fi bands of the 90s, but I don't know, I think REM might have a little too much for them. I see Pavement hanging in through like the first half, and then I think REM pulls away in the second half of this game.
All right, let's move on to the 8-9 matchup, always tough. We have at 8, Guns N' Roses, and 9, Husker Du.
Well, Husker Du, they're pretty good at the pushing the ball up the court, pretty fast offense. Guns N' Roses kind of mix it up with the half court, but they can push the ball too. This is going to be a tough matchup. I have no idea who's going to win this one. I give slight nod to Guns N' Roses, so a little chalk here, but it's going to be tough.
Well, the key here is, will Guns N' Roses show up by game time? That'll be
That's true. I mean, what kind of physical condition will they be in? Okay. Then again, Husker Du, you don't really know either.
Will
so
one of their players force a heroin overdose to stop the game? That's right. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
All right, we move down to the 5-12 matchup. The 5 seed is the Cars, and the 12 is the Foo Fighters.
Well, Foo Fighters, they're also playing for one of their teammates who unfortunately had a demise recently. They're kind of coming on strong, I think. It's a pretty well-established team. Once again, tough call. But I guess I get edge to the Cars in this one.
Okay. The 4 seed in this region is Run DMC, and they go up against the 13 seed, the 4 Tops.
An interesting matchup. You've got two of the greatest R&B influence groups of the rock era. 4 Tops, of course, Motown era, the 60s, Run DMC, rap pioneers. It's going to be a fascinating matchup here. I'm going to go with Run DMC. Yep, sorry, going chalk here again, but I think they might have a little too much for the 4 Tops.
Okay. All right. The number 3 seed in this region is the Ramones, and they drew the 14 seed, Guided by Voices.
Ooh, now this is where I wish I had my GBV expert, Scott Parks, to help me with this one. Boy, they are a solid team. They might be feeling a little slighted being in the 14 seed, but boy, the Ramones, one of the truly great teams in rock and roll. Ramones might have a little too much for Guided by Voices, but we'll see. It could be a close game.
Again, up-tempo team, the Ramones.
Yeah, Ramones, yeah. Very up-tempo.
Let's play the over on that one, guys.
Yeah, they're going to push the ball every time they get it.
That's right.
Could be a high-scoring affair. 47 goals in that
yeah, one. Yeah, Guided by Voices, very prolific as well. So, Pollard scores a lot.
That's right.
It's going to be close. It's going to be high-scoring. That's right.
Whatever the over-under is, let's play the over.
Now, Pollard actually has basketball background, I believe.
Yeah, so he's quite an athlete.
But yeah,
I should insert here, folks, at this point, there's no actual wagers on this, so it's just our podcast.
That's right.
Don't go looking for it on DraftKings. It's not there.
It's not? Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, but you're right. And this matchup, there are no shot clock violations in that one. Okay.
Right.
The number 6 seed in this region is Earth, Wind, and Fire is the 6 seed, and they go up against number 11 seed Allman Brothers Band.
Wow, these are two completely different teams here. This tough call. I mean, different styles of play. I don't know. I think Allman Brothers might be able to pull an upset in this one.
Interesting.
That could be my upset special.
Okay.
Are tickets still available?
I don't know. People might really want to see this one.
Yeah, that'd be a good one to see.
You're right. That'd be very entertaining. The number 7 in this region is NWA, and they go up against the number 10 seed X.
Ooh. Two biggies from Los Angeles. NWA, the rap group, X, kind of rockabilly punk. So two different styles of play here. This is another tough one to call. I guess it depends on what style people favor out there. I don't know how to call this one. I think this is a toss-up.
It'll be a tough matchup. Okay, and then rounding out Region B, we have the number 2 seed Parliament Funkadelic against the 15 seed the Bangles.
Wow, once again, two different, completely different styles here. P-Funk from Detroit, the Bangles, sort of Paisley Underground, Jangle Pop from L.A., I think P-Funk's going to have too much for the Bangles, though. I think Bangles will hang in there, but I think P-Funk pulls away, wins by about 20.
Wow. All right. Well, any other thoughts on this region overall, Mark?
It's fascinating matchups. Really good matchups, as I mentioned to you earlier before the podcast. I think we're going to see some interesting matchups. I think REM probably is going to pull away, though, as the number 1 seed, but... there could be some upsets. Going to be interesting. So that's all I got for you.
It'll be interesting. All right. That sounds good. Thanks very much, Mark. We are now going Region C, and our guest analyst for that is Jeff Perry. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
And welcome. Jeff,
greetings from Kansas City.
Yes, you're in Kansas.
Go ahead.
Kansas City. And who was your college basketball team?
The unfortunate Kansas Jayhawks, who lost 2 games in a row last week.
Yeah, they've been
well.
So
yeah,
But we have a national championship, right?
Unfortunate, though. Are they just aren't they? No. Champions?
Yeah, they're defending champions.
They might win next year, this year too.
And they could. It could happen again. They went through a spell like this last season too. So
yeah, sometimes those are the best things, right? When you're trying to win a title, yeah. you gotta suffer a little bit.
Have you ever seen
wake everybody up?
Have you ever seen the Hawk mascot half dressed?
No, I haven't. I did go one time at a kid's event. I was dressed up as the bear from Children's Mercy Hospital and had to go against the Chiefs mascot, Casey Wolf. And I had to wrestle him. He beat me, of course.
You mean two mascots wrestling?
Yeah, for a kid's event. I had a friend who actually took Casey Wolf somewhere in his Tesla, and he said took him weeks to get the smell out of his car. It's just things just.
This is great. Okay. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for joining us here. Are you ready to analyze the matchups in Region C? Okay.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
So, looking at that, go ahead.
I was going to say the number one seed in your region is Creedence, and they're going up against number 16, TLC.
Now, Creedence was my first favorite band when I was growing up in the 70s, and TLC I don't know too much about. I know they have one big hit that's kind of a reference for everybody, but I think there's just too much strength, too much depth. Creedence has that one strong big man, which is key in this tournament.
That's right. Very good.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's a very intriguing 8-9 matchup. You got at 8, the Pixies, and at 9, the Replacements.
Yep. Both super influential. I think when you get into a tournament like this, you look for depth. I think, you know, the Replacements have the big man, Paul Westerberg, but the Pixies have the depth. I think the whole band, Kim Deal and Black Francis, I think really carry that team a long way. So that's going to be a tight game to watch.
It absolutely is. Okay, we move on to the 5 versus 12. The 5 is Nirvana, and the 12, Steely Dan.
That's two different styles of teams there. Nirvana kind of made their way playing live, playing with a lot of energy, and Steely Dan is kind of a hothouse flower, I think, that strictly mostly a studio creation. They do have a lot of depth of years of albums and quite a catalog. So that's another tough matchup.
All right. Now, I mentioned earlier that there's rarely a standout band from the world of country music, but here we have the original at number 4, the Carter Family, going up against number 13 seed, 9 Inch Nails. Could there be a more different matchup in this tournament?
Somebody who's completely electronic, and the Carter Family, who recorded on wax cylinders or something, or shellac, I think. So that's a huge difference in style. So the speed and the tempo, I think 9 Inch Nails may have the edge there.
All right. The 3 seed in this region is Van Halen, going up against the 14, which is the Jackson 5 / the Jacksons.
Well, the Jackson 5 and the Jacksons tend to bring in a lot of ringers. They came through with a lot of studio musicians and so forth. I think Van Halen was pretty much self-contained, probably had no guest appearances on their album. So they're kind of a juggernaut. So there's some good matchups here, but I think that Van Halen takes this one.
I will say with the Jackson 5, they did have their own cartoon show. I don't know what that means, but
yeah, that's true.
All right. Number 6 in this region is Pearl Jam, going up against the 11th seed Wilco.
Again, this is pretty, this is bands kind of behind their front man, the big man in the middle. A lot of talent in both bands, great guitarists in both bands, and just virtuosos, I think, for the most part. the rotating cast of drummers with Pearl Jam and the different people that Jeff Tweedy has picked up over the years. That makes for a very interesting, great matchup, I think, too.
Okay, now we go to number 7 versus 10. 7 is Wu-Tang Clan against 10, Boys from Boston, Aerosmith.
Oh, man. Well, you know, the Wu-Tang is nothing to, you know. And Aerosmith had a lot of injuries over the years and illnesses. So I think the Wu-Tang is the one to watch in this game.
Okay. And then we round out this region with the number 2 seed, the Supremes, going up against the 15, A Tribe Called Quest.
Supremes didn't have their own cartoon show like the Jackson 5.
They did not. They just sold an S-ton of records.
Yes. And, I mean, there's a lot of ringers in the Motown group, but they bring a lot of depth to the tournament. So Quest is a Tribe Called Quest just made a lot of great records too. So that's another tough one to call.
All right. Anything overall?
It's going to be a tough bracket.
Anything overall in this bracket? Any other thoughts?
I don't see any Cinderellas here. I think that the tournament's selection committee made some pretty good choices here.
I think the most intriguing thing to me that stands out is that if Creedence gets out of that first round, as we think they will, they have to face in the second round either the Pixies or the Replacements. That's a tough second round matchup there.
Yep. Either way.
That's right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Jeff. And we're going to move on now to the last region, Region D. And we have Jason Goble with us. Jason?
Hello. Hey, Jim. I've been drinking coffee and eating potato chips and candy, and I'm raring to go.
All right. Now, before we start here, who's your college team, Jason?
My college team, by the way, is Colgate. I'm a graduate from the school, and lately they've been good. And I was never a mascot, but I did play tuba in our college pep band. Our basketball team sucked at the time, but we had a good hockey team, and I got yelled at a lot for blocking the fans' view at the end of the day with the tuba. So that's what I can tell you about my college experience at the end of the day.
What a legacy.
There you go.
And Colgate is the Raiders?
Yes, we were the Red Raiders. When I got there, it was when they took away the Indian. I think it was for after I graduated when they took away the Indian connotation.
Got it. Okay, very good. Okay, Jason, are you ready to analyze Region D?
Yes. As I said earlier, I've been drinking coffee and eating chips all day. All right. So I'm fired up.
Ready to go. Okay. All right. The number 1 seed in your region is the Grateful Dead, and they drew the 16 seed Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Two legendary frontmen. My jam band Heart likes to say the Grateful Dead, but I also know there's a ton of Southern rock fans, and I will say this about Lynyrd Skynyrd. They once opened for the Stones in Hyde Park and basically stole the show. So I am definitely nervous as a Deadhead fan, about this first round matchup at the end of the day.
Interesting.
Yeah. Can I just say something here, Jim, too?
Yes.
In my analysis of this, I mean, our team ran it all through, as we always do, but to me, I think the committee, again, I hate to rant at the committee, but I do love some of their number 1 seeds. But for me, Journey at 12 and Skynyrd at 16, those have to be flipped.
Oh, okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay. All right.
Minor quibble.
No, I hear you.
It makes it tough on Jason.
That's right. Okay. Well, we'll get to the other one you mentioned in a moment here. Okay, we're going to go to the 8-9 game here, Jason. You have 8, Los Lobos versus 9, the Go-Go's.
Will the Wolf survive versus will the Go-Go's send Los Lobos on an early vacation? I think the Wolf survives, but based on podcast episodes, but I'm a little nervous for Los Lobos as well. And I'm actually a big Go-Go's fan as well, so... fine either way.
Okay. All right, the 5 seed in your region is the Temptations, going up against, as Patrick mentioned, the 12, Journey.
And I gotta be honest, this is a dangerous number 12. Yes, they're going against Motown royalty. That having been said, and I know Journey's been fighting as of late, but I heard Steve Perry's coming back for these 63 days. And I think he's going to bring the band back together. And Temptations, definitely a tough first-round matchup at the end of the day.
Okay.
Yeah, like Willis Reed, he's limping back onto the court.
He would be.
They've let him in.
He would be limping too, because I think his voice is shot. So there you go. All right. Number 4 seed is the Beastie Boys, probably near and dear to your heart as a New Yorker, versus number 13, they might be Giants.
I'll just mention this to start with. The Beastie Boys, that was when I saw my bracket. That was the one I had the qualm with. I think they should be higher. I saw this and I said, I think I'm losing my mind this time. This time I'm losing my mind. that having been said, they're also going against a tough matchup, probably the smartest band in this entire tournament. They might be Giants. They're the reason I know Istanbul is not Constantinople. I think the Beastie Boys pull it off, but an advance for my hometown city, but I'm nervous for the Beastie Boys as well.
All right, very good. Let's see, the number...
As I said, coffee and chips all day.
All right. Let's see. Sticking with New York, you got number 3, Public Enemy, against the boys from D.C. here, number 14 seed Fugazi.
I love Public Enemy.
The most heartbreaking matchup of all. Sorry, Jason.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. I love Public Enemy. I think they bring the noise. That having been said, I know this tournament, a good chunk of your base is based out of the DMV, as I learned it was called when I went to Suburbs Fest DC. And I'm a little nervous whether Fugazi is going to have a home field advantage. That having been said, I am voting for my boys from Long Island, the Public Enemy.
Okay. Let's see. Number 6 seed is Cheap Trick versus number 11 seed ZZ Top.
It only gets harder in the bottom half of this bracket, as started at the top with the Public Enemy versus Fugazi. You got Mr. Suburbs Pop 1000, Rick Nielsen, leading Cheap Trick. That having been said, they're going against Tres Hombres from Texas. And I got to tell you, I think could be a tough night in Rockford at the end of the day.
All right. Let's see. The number 7 versus 10. 7 is Blondie, again with New York, versus number 10, Green Day.
This is my favorite matchup of the bracket. This is the one that's got me the most excited. You got a band that emerged from the punk rubble in the 70s versus a band that led the punk resurgence, at least popularity-wise, in the 90s. I love Blondie. I love Green Day. I'm interested to see how this one turns out. Okay.
And then rounding out this region and rounding out the tournament, the number 2, The Doors, versus number 15, Slater Kinney.
Slater Kinney, the queens of the Pacific Northwest, going against The Doors. I think a lot on this one depends which Jim Morrison shows up. Is it the one who once said, Father, yes, son, I want to kill you? Or is it the one who showed up drunk and got thrown off the stage numerous times? I think I'm actually thinking an upset on this one at the end of the day. That's my take.
Wow. True Cinderella story, that would be. All right.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Okay. Thanks very much, everyone. Now, I want to mention to the listeners again, you can go to Rock in the Suburbs Facebook page or Rock in the Suburbs Twitter feed to vote each day. New matchups each day for the next 63 days, assuming I live that long. All right.
Okay. And just to be clear, we're not having a podcast every day, as Jim said at the top. So,
no, we're going to do. That's a good point, Patrick. We're going to do various points throughout the tournament, we will get together, you and I, and maybe some of these guest analysts, maybe some other guest analysts, and we'll look at the progress as the tournament goes on, who has advanced and so on until we get down to that final four, right?
Love it.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So go out there and vote. What are we going to say, Patrick?
I was going to say thanks to all the guys that came on. Thanks to Bud. Thanks to Mark.
Thanks
to Jeff. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, everyone was fantastic. Jason, I really like Jason's Dicky V energy there. I appreciated that. So
thank you guys.
Yeah, we didn't get any diaper dandies in their PTPers, but still, that was fantastic. Everyone brought their A game. So,
and
it was fun.
I want to mention here too that normally we would suggest that people can call or send us emails, but when it comes to any bands that you think were snubbed here and left out of the field of 64, the best way to deal with that is to open up the window and stick out your head and yell.
There it is.
All right.
Just yell.
All right. All right.
Somebody will come eventually. Yeah.
Thanks again. Thanks to Mark Neese, Jeff Perry, Bud Verge, Jason Goebel. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And it's Rockin' the Suburbs, and we'll talk to you all later.
Thank you.
I'm going to go Carter Family over Nine Inch Nails.